Okay, we are up to Shmuel Aleph Perech of Zion. A little perek as compared to the other prakim, short perek, only 11 psukim, 12 psukim, and it continues the story of David and Shaul. Keep in mind that Sefer Shmuel Aleph, as we have discussed, is split into three parts. We're in the middle of the third part. The first part was about Eli and Shmuel. The second part was about Shmuel and Shaul, and this third major part is about Shaul and David. And Shaul was just told David again. He gives him a bracha, and he says, "You're going to be the king." And he ends off Perachavav, Gama Sotasev, Gam Yachol Tuchal. Shaul realizes that David could have killed him. David stole his sword and his water, and David's amazing, and he's going to be the king. And Shaul even recognized that, but he is not in control of himself, and David realizes that. And that's why in this Perek, as David threatened, or not even threatened, mentioned in the last Perek that he's going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael, he leaves Eretz Yisrael. Is it halachically out of Eretz Yisrael? What is it? He goes to the land of the Plishtim, the land of Gat, as we will see. He goes there and he goes to the king who he previously had been captured by, and he went back to him. He takes with him the 600 men, and he says to him, he takes his wives, Avigail and Achinoam, and he says to the king of to the Achish, the king of Gath, "Please, I want to stay with you." He pretends that he's Shaul wants to kill him, and therefore he has turned against Shaul. "I'll be a fighter for you. I'll live with you. I'll support you. Please let me stay here and hide from him." And the king agrees. Vayimis par yamim, and it continues that he lives there for a couple of months. And throughout that time, David goes and plunders various people. We'll talk about those people are. And Achish is happy about that, and that's the way he stays alive. And he gets, he keeps food, and he gets spoils that he can have. That is the whole parak. And Achish, the last pasuk is Vayamein Achish b'David, and Achish believes in him. And this is really setting the stage for the next parak, where it's going to come to a four, where the Plishtim and the Bnei Yisrael are going to be on opposite sides. And the question is, where is David going to go? Okay, so we have this parak. Vayomer David alibo. So David says in his heart, again, keeping right after Shaul had already promised, "It's okay, you're great, you're going to win." David doesn't take any chances. He says to himself, "Ata esafe yom echad biyad Shaul. One day, Shaul's going to catch me. Shaul's going to catch me. I have to run away. I have to return." Says the Abarbanel in his beautiful language. David's even more worried, even after he has the promises from Shaul. Im heyos shekefi divrei Shaul u'ma'amarav. Haya ro'i l'David shalo yefached od mimenu. Based on Shaul's promises, it should be that David is no longer afraid. Ve'yivtach libo shalo yirdefu od. And he should have bitachon in his heart that Shaul won't chase after him. Hine ata hosif David liro mimenu mimashi yariat heine. He's even more scared. Why? Because as the Baronel says, as I've written many times, k'mosh zacharti pamim rabos, kol od shaya Yeroes Shaul as David, Matzliach b'masav. As long as Shaul sees David being successful, Visha Hashem imo, and that Hashem is with him, Hayachafetz Yoser Lahargo. The more that David is successful, the more Shaul wants to kill him. Why? Ki Hayazeh, ki Hayaz mis ametz etzlo sheyimloch acharav. Because after all, Shaul knows by now that he's the one that's going to be take over for him. It's not going to be his son Yonasan, right? Even Yonasan is against him. So Shaul realizes that David is going to be the one. So if he's going to be the one, the more he goes up, the more Shaul feels himself going down, and that's why he can't take it. Ukeros David ata, and now that he sees, that David sees, Shaul nivhal, Meshur Hayashem ito, and Shaul now sees that Hashem has helped David out, not one time in the cave, but two times, even in the battlefield, everybody was sleeping, he comes in, he really will see that David is being successful, and Hashem is with him, and he's going to really be angry. Amar David v'libo, belisa fake. Ata yikane, now he will really be jealous. Ki yoser, mimashu makani at ata, v'yishtadol yoter lirdof acharai, v'yom echad esefe biyado. He's going to catch me. And even though the Abarbanel notes, David trusts in Hashem, and he trusts that Shmuel's anointment and appointment will be true, but lo ratzili samech al anes, he doesn't want to be samech al anes, and therefore he runs ones away. Interesting, ha'ara, that one might suggest that Rabbi Bachrach makes it a safer on Shaul and David, and that is David. Why was it, as the Barbanel says, why was it so painful to Shaul? Again, he was jealous, but why was it so painful? So it's based on a thought that we've mentioned in another context, and that is, the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Dvarim in Parachaf, in the description of the Mashuach Melchama, there's a pep talk given to Am Yisrael on the battlefield, and then there are a number of individuals that are asked and given exemptions to go home. Miyaish asher bana by yischadish volchanacho. Anyone who built a house and did not get to live in it yet, yelech yoshev lebeiso. You could go home. Why? Pen yamas bal mochama vishachar yachnechenu. Right? We don't think you can concentrate, so you're not going to be a help but a hindrance on the battlefield. So go home. And umiyaish asher nata karen below chilolo. So he planted a vineyard and was not mechalel it yet. Didn't enjoy the fruits. Go home. Pen yamas bal mochama vishachar yachalolenu. And finally, the third. Miyaish asher eras isha velo lakacha. Erasin no nisuin, go home, yelech yashav leveso, pen yashav amalchama, vishachar yikachena. And the question that is asked by the achronim is that there seem to be 9 extra words in the Torah. Why should he go home? Why doesn't each of the psukim just end, pen yamus bamilchama? Maybe he'll die. Maybe he'll die and he won't get to enjoy it. Right, he just built a house, we want him to enjoy it, so maybe he might die. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, pen yamus amalchama, and someone else will live in it. And someone else will enjoy it. And somebody else will get married. V'ish acher yachinchenu yichalolenu yikachena. Each time, why do you need those 9 extra words? Rashi says 6 words. V'ish acher yachinchenu v'dvar shel agmas nefesh huzeh. And this is terrible agmas nefesh. What does that mean? Hashem recognizes what's really painful to a person. Not just if I don't have it, but if somebody else gets it, that's even worse. The story that we always quote in this context is the story of Reb Chaim and Reb Simcha Zelig, where Reb Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan in Brisk, he paskened against a certain butcher, a very big case, right, a huge cow, and thousands of ruble, and he paskened against the butcher. Sorry, it's treif, you have to throw it out. And the butcher was fine with it, he accepted it. And then a few weeks later, there was this same butcher, had a dintara with another individual, about a few ruble, very small, minor sum, and he paskened against the butcher, and the butcher got up and cursed Reb Simcha Zelig, and Reb Chaim threw him out of the bezdin. And Reb Simcha Zelig asked Reb Chaim, I don't understand. Beforehand, I paskened against him for thousands of ruble. He kept quiet. And here, it's measly pittance, right? It's nothing. And he gets mad at me. What, it's just cumulative? I paskened against him a second time? So Reb Chaim says, no, it's obvious. Here, someone else won. By the butcher, he lost the first case by the animal. But nobody else got it. So it went to the garbage. But here, it's so much more painful because the other guy won. That's what Rashi means here. V'tvar shel agmas nefesh, who says, agmas nefesh. It's so painful, and the Torah knows that that's what's going to bother a person. Not just that they're not going to have it, but someone else is going to have it instead of them. If nobody gets something, if none of the kids get it, fine. But if one of the kids get it, then the other siblings, don't give it to anybody. We'd rather nobody get it, because they can't stand the jealousy, the kinna, when someone else has it. So that's what's going on here with Shaul HaMelech also. He's not in control. He can't control himself because he keeps hearing, V'nasata l'reacha hatov mimcha. He keeps hearing Shmuel's statement of, he's not only going to lose the Malchus, but what did it say at the end of the parak, after he does not wipe out Amalek? It says that your friend is going to get it. Somebody better than you is going to get it. Somebody who is more suited to be the king. So it's not just that he is losing the Malchus as he feels, but he feels that it's being sucked away by David, and that's what makes it even more painful. Right? That's the language, right? When he lost it. The end of Perek Tezvav. What did the Navi say? Vayomer elav Shmuel, kara Hashem es mamluchus Yisrael me'alecha hayom. Hashem was ripping the Malchus away from you today. Unisana l'reacha hatov mimeka. And giving it to your friend, your fellow, who is better than you. V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachem, ki lo adam hu lehinachem. Hashem has decided this, don't try to get out of it. So Shaul, he keeps hearing that reverberating in his mind. And that's why David knows that. And that's why David says, even though he's giving me all the promises in the world, I know the more I go up, the more he's going to feel it, the more he's going to try to kill me, and therefore I have to go hide. So that's what happens in this parak. Ata, David again says, Esafe yom echa biyacho, one day I'm going to be caught. Ein li tov ki himalait imalait al eretz plishtim. I'm going to go to the plishtim. Interesting. Does the plishtim have the status of Eretz Yisrael? Not. Right, he goes to the plishtim. But David just said in the previous parak he's going to have to leave, go to Chutz Laaretz. V'no ashmi mani Shaul v'aksheni od v'chol gvul Yisrael. And Shaul will give up from seeking me out amongst all gvul Yisrael. V'nemati miyado, and I will be saved from his hand. The Malbim, in his classic style, Kedarko Bakodesh, never wants to say Kafal Ha'inyan B'milim Shonot. The Navi is saying the same thing in two different ways. The Malbim never says that. He never likes to say. He likes to say every phrase is teaching me something else. So here, in Pasuk Aleph, it's somewhat verbose. It keeps saying, he's going to give up, he's not going to search for me, I'm going to be escaped. So the Malbim says you got to read between the lines, which he literally does. He always adds things in between the lines. He says, you have to read the pasuk like this. Ein li tov ki hi maledi maled eretz plishtim. There's nothing better for me than to go to the eretz plishtim. And that is for three reasons. This is going to help me in three ways, the Malbim explains. Number one, when I'm in my own land, ki ba'odi ba'aretz, when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, choshev sha'ul sha'ani osif aylai anashim kutei limrod bo. If I'm still here, he'll think I'm gathering more people for the rebellion. Locate him, Eyev Eretz Plishtim. And he won't think that if I'm by Eretz Plishtim. Nobody's going to come on my side to fight for a Jew. So, first reason, if I go there, he's not going to think that I'm gathering people to attack. That's what it says, Vino Ash Mimeni Sha'ul. He'll give up, because he'll realize that I'm not going to have a merit against him. Number two, ask the Malbim. Sha'achar She Yada Shalo Yimsa'eni Yisi'ai Shemila Vakshani. Number two, once I leave, not only will he not think that, but it'll be much harder for him. That's the next phrase of the pasuk. Levaksheni od v'chogavul Yisrael. Right, he can't find me there by the plishtim, in the Eretz plishtim, so he's not going to find me. And then finally, even if he gets up his courage and he comes to the Eretz plishtim to fight me, but v'nimlatzati miyado, I will be escaped from his hand because the melech of the plishtim is going to fight with me and for me and protect me. Says the Malbim, the three phrases in the pasuk are talking about the three different issues that David HaMelech is thinking. So what happens? Vayakam David vayavar hu v'sheish meos isha sherimo. David and his 600 men go. They go west. El Achish ben Moach ma'och melech gat. They go to Achish. And the obvious question is that we know we don't have to think that far back. Back in Parachaf Aleph, David HaMelech comes and Achish sees him. Achish sees him, and the Achish bring David to him, and David has to start acting like a fool, has to acting like a meshuga, right? And that's the only way that Achish says, this can't be David HaMelech. And he has the great line there, that he doesn't have enough meshuganess, chasar meshugoyim ani, ki aveitem et zeh lishtagei alai, I don't have enough meshuganess, says Achish. So David was able to escape. And now David walks back into the lion's den. David walks straight back to Achish. Doesn't even hide anything here. He goes with his men. Vayesha David and Achish bagat. Hu v'anashav ishu beso. Doesn't say whether Achish recognized him or not. Pasha says he thinks he's somebody else. He put that out of his mind. But David comes to speak to Achish. So how did he do this? Ask the Radak. Why did he just walk back into the lion's den? Explains the Radak, there are two major differences between now and then. Yesh l'shol, hey chal achila v'hu aya kvar b'sakana imo, achis palel v'nimlat misham. V'yesh l'fari, says the Radak, number one, there he was alone. Here he has 600 men, he has fighters with him. He's not as scared. Number one, ki b'pam ahi haya David levado, v'his naker sham, u'kisharashi kiru pachan, avalata, b'b'sheish me'ozish, v'kodem shenechaz v'gat shalach l'achish. Right, so number one, he was not alone now. Number two, here he has a plan. What is he telling Achish? He's saying, I'm with you. I hate Shaul. He's trying to kill me. I have to get out of here. So he sends Achish. Ki hisba'esh b'sha'ul uva'amo. V'hodiya atzmo ki u'David. And he let himself to be known. V'achish kiblo b'shalam v'yeshev imo. So number one, the amount of people with him, and number two is Kavana and his plan that he have. So he speaks to Achish and says, I'm here, please could I stay with in your land? And he's there with Achinoam HaYisraelis v'Avigail, Eshes Naval HaKarmel. It's interesting that the Pasuk still calls her Eshes Naval. Who cares? Now she's Eshes David. What do we have to say? Eshes Naval. Okay. V'yugal l'shol ki barach David. Shol hears that David ran and he stopped. In Achinami, David was correct. And that he wouldn't chase him here. If I find favor in your eyes, giving him a lot of kavod, I'm not going to stay in your capital city with you. You don't have to support me. I don't want to be a drain on the economy. So I'm going to go to one of the outskirts cities. Is that okay with you? Is that okay with you? Yinu li makom ba'achas harei ha'sadeh. Veish v'sham, and I'll sit there. Why should I sit here with you? And Achish says, fine. And he gives him siklug. V'himispara yamim, asher yashav David b'stei plishtim. How long was David there? The phrase is yamim va'arba'a chadashim. A year and 4 months. I shouldn't say that. What does the words mean? Days and 4 months. Yamim elsewhere, like by the story of Lavan, we find Yamim means a year. But here, Rashi, Radak, Chazal point out that it can't be a year because there's only 4 months between when Shmuel dies and when Shaul dies and loses his malchus. So David couldn't be there for a year, so it must mean 4 months and 2 days. Right? Rashi quotes, Shaul Malach Achar Misa Shmuel El Arba Chadashim. So Shmuel might not have been written in the exact spot that he died. We're going to get into the next parak. We're going to talk more about Shmuel dying. It was recorded already, but it's only 4 months, so therefore he couldn't have been there too long. So he's there for 2 days and 4 months, explains the Mefarshim. Vayal David va'anashav, and David goes. Now we get to the second half of the parak. What does David do? Vayifshetu es hagshuri v'hagizri v'ha'amaleki. He goes and plunders these people. They've been sitting there for a long time. So who are these people? And he's plundering them, and he's killing out the men, women, and children. He's wiping out these whole nation, these whole people. What is he doing? So there is a machlokes amongst the Mefarshim. And that is, the Malbim says, well, these are part of the Zion Amamin. And that's what it means, the word me'olam. They're under Achish, but they're part of the Zayim Amin. So it's a mitzvah daraisa. Lo sechaya kol neshama. Where we discussed this in mitzvah shir. If you listen back to the mitzvah, 425, mitzvah taf chaf hey. The Sefer HaChinuch says, la harog shiva amamin hamachzikin ba'artzenu terem kavastu al sabahem. Knani chite emari prizi ula abdam b'chol makam shnim seim. And two, to wipe them out. Why? Explains the Sefer HaChinuch, they are the root of all avodah zarah. It's in their DNA. That they are the Avodah Zarah, and they're here to get rid of. The Chinuch deals with the philosophical problem then of if we're supposed to wipe them out, so what's their purpose in life? Why were they created? If they're totally going to be destroyed, number one, because they still had Bechira Chavshis. The Rambam says, if they're make shalom, if they're makabal l'sheva mitzvos, then you still could accept them. There's no mitzvah of los chai kol nesham in that case. So kvar yadanu, sherishus nesuna biyado shel olam, lasos lios tov ora, v'shelo yachriach Hashem es adam alechem mehem. They had bechira. And betchila sabriya hayiru yingam l'tova. They were roy l'tova at the beginning of the bria. But they strayed. Or also says the Chinuch, Efter Shayolahem Bizman Min Azmanim Shasakosher, maybe there was a moment in time that they were positive, or maybe there'll be one Hagun, Adam Hagun coming out from them. But either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it all worked out, their purpose in creation, and that is a mitzvah that applies throughout history. The Rambam does write that Bizman Hazeh, after Sancheriv was after David, but after Sancheriv was Mevalbel Kol Ha'umos, that mitzvah does not apply anymore. If somebody comes to me and says, I am an Emori, I am a Girgashi, there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to touch them. Why? Because Kfar, the Rambam's Lashon in Hilchas Malachim, Perakei Alach Adalid, Kfar Avdu Va'avad Zichram. Right? We don't know who these nations are. They're all mixed up. So therefore, there's no more mitzvah. It doesn't mean that there's not the mitzvah is not eternal. The mitzvah is eternal. It's just that the application of it, we can't do the mitzvah. The definition of a mitzvah, part of the definition of it says that it is eternal. And therefore, the Rambam says, it's an eternal mitzvah, you just can't do it now. Kfar avdu va'avad zichram. But in the days of David HaMelech, he can do it. That is one pshat. That's who these people are, says the Malbim. The Abarbanel says, I don't think that could be, because those would be people who are on the side of Achish, and Achish, he must have heard something if David was killing his own people. So Abarbanel says, no, it must be, these were nations that were also against Achish, right? My enemy is your enemy, says David HaMelech. And therefore, David wiping them out, Achish is very happy about that. He's not nervous. He says, they were snu'ei nefesh Achish. V'shehem hayu oivav. And it wasn't anything treasonous against Achish. Achish let him stay there for a while. So, therefore, David HaMelech was really helping Achish out on his side. The other, one of the nations mentioned here is Amalek. The question is, David was wiping out Amalek? Why was he wiping out Amalek? It was a mitzvah daraisa to wipe out Amalek also. Meaning maybe it's just a contrast to what Shaul did. He didn't, but David was doing it. But then the problem is, the Rinath Yitzchak points out, he kept the animals. He took all the spoils. But what do you mean when it comes to Amalek? Don't you have to get rid of everything? So, four or five suggestions the Rinath Yitzchak has. That maybe this is not the real chiyuv of Amalek. This isn't the wiping out of Amalek. This is just the snu'ei Achish. Why? Why didn't he have a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek? So, many suggestions. Maybe the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is only a chovas hatzibur, not a chovas hayachid. Number two, maybe it's only a mitzvah on the melech, and maybe David didn't have full status of a melech yet. Number three, the Brisker Rav suggests maybe Mechias Amalek is only a mitzvah rak al pi nevuah, as the pasuk says, Melchama Lashem ba'amalek. Right, or what else does he talk about here? Maybe it's a mitzvah that is only there's not knowing until Yemos HaMashiach. Right? It applied, but now it's not going to apply again. It's eternal, but it's not happening until then. So again, there's many different suggestions. The Oneg Yontif, he says, has another suggestion, and that is maybe the mitzvah to wipe out the animals is only after you wipe out the people. It's a hosafa. But if you don't wipe out all the people in the world, all the Amalekim, so there's no mitzvah to wipe out the animals. So therefore, it wasn't a mitzvah in any of these cases to say, maybe it wasn't a real mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, and even if it was, maybe there's a reason why there was no problem with leaving the animals alive. And David used to report back to Achish, and as the parak ends off, Achish believed in David, and Vahayali le'evet olam, he thought he would be his evet forever, until, as we'll see, we get to the next parak. Okay? We will stop here.